It's time to go to the movies with Matt Olien. And this week, Matt, you actually went to a movie or saw a movie that would be in the theaters if we could go to the theaters. Call of the Wild.
Yeah, with Harrison Ford in the adaptation of course, the famous Jack London novel. Now, we were able to access this, Doug, through Amazon, and you pay a price to watch it in your home theater. So Call of the Wild was in theaters when theaters shut down. So this kind of counts as a new release movie. A lot of those are available. The Invisible Man with Elizabeth Moss, that's another one I'd like to see. So we're kind of doing the same thing here, just I didn't see it in the theater. So let me tell you one thing about how our house works, Doug. When our daughter Chloe calls for a family movie night, let's just say she controls the strings, okay? We're not watching stuff that I want to watch. We're watching, eventually she wins the compromise. So she wanted to see Call of the Wild because she'd already seen it in theaters with her grandma. And I thought, well, I can review that then. So that's fine. So that's what we're doing. And thanks to Chloe for Call of the Wild. Now, the director here is Chris Sanders. Now, he has a good track record with animated films, Doug. How to Train Your Dragon, The Croods, Lilo and Stitch. And unfortunately, this feels like an animated movie with real-life actors stuck in, and later, dog sleds, teams of dogs are put in, animated, CGI. That's how the film comes off. Now, to actually get dogs, actual real dogs, to do the sledding, which Buck, the main dog, does, he's stolen from his family in California, and he ends up on this ship up to the Yukon to Alaska in the 1890s, where he's a sled dog, and eventually he meets Harrison Ford, who's a gold prospector, and that's the genesis of the story. When it was filmed in 1935 with Clark Gable, they used, real dogs. And now it's simply not done. It's all animated. And I must say, Buck's CGI is cute. It's well done. But he really comes off as a dog that's way too smart for a dog. And I know dogs are smart, but it's almost like he's a person with the CGI. And I didn't really care for the CGI, but I understand this is the way things are done now. Most of the backdrops are CGI too, Doug. It's very disconcerting to watch this movie. There are parts of it I liked, but the CGI is so heavy, Doug, that you just know you're not in Alaska. You're not even close to Alaska. You're probably in a studio where they're going to put CGI in later. So I think that's the inevitable weakness of the film.
Well, you mentioned that the CGI dog, Buck, seemed to have sort of human characteristics. Yep. And when I looked into the movie, The Call of the Wild, the 2020 version of it, it's been made several times for television and the big screen. It was a motion capture performer by the name of Terry Notary who played Buck before they added the CGI.
Yeah, it feels like Scooby-Doo, Doug. That's really, when you watch this movie, it really feels like Scooby-Doo with Harrison Ford as John Thornton, the gold prospector. Omar Sy is in this movie. Karen Gillan has a small part, but really it's Buck and Harrison Ford. Dan Stevens, who played the Beast in the Beauty and the Beast remake, he's the cartoonish villain, almost coming off like Snidely Whiplash. Look, I think kids will enjoy this movie. My daughter liked it a lot. I sat and watched the whole thing, but for me, it's like I've talked about, Doug, on this show. If Lawrence of Arabia was made today, the desert would be CGI. It would not have the same impact that it had in 1962 when David Lean and the cast of thousands spent a year in the desert. And what resulted was showmanship and entertainment and a film that people still talk about today. So the funny thing about this, Doug, is the cost of this film was enormous. They need to make about $200 million to just break even on this movie. And so far, it's grossed about, $40 million. That's pretty good considering that theaters got shut down, which was a bad break for this. But CGI is expensive, so it's not like going to CGI is saving a lot of money. But I think the time and the work that would have to be put in to have sled dogs and actual dogs and actual dog interaction with Harrison Ford is probably something they don't want to do these days. So it's a trade-off. It's a catch-22. I didn't really care for the movie, but I think kids may enjoy it if you're stuck at home and want to pay a small fee to watch a theater movie. This is probably the best family movie out there.
Well, when I looked into it, and I inevitably do that when we're talking about a movie. You mentioned Clark Gable, and of course Harrison Ford. Charlton Heston has played the role. Ricky Schroeder has played the role. Rutger Hauer has played the role. Nick Mancuso has played the role. So this Jack London Story, written in 1903, first of all for the Saturday Evening Post, and it was published as a book, was based essentially on things he saw, he witnessed, not necessarily a dog named Buck, but he was in the Yukon during the gold rush. And London actually made his writing career out of telling those kinds of stories, like To Build a Fire, that were immensely popular. He became a very handsomely paid writer, coming from a rather modest upbringing and a modest education. He was a self-made man who died rather young at the age of 40 from accumulated diseases and alcoholism.
Yeah, The Call of the Wild was one of my dad's favorite books as a boy. And so the book remains one of those kind of young boy, young person type books to read as you see Buck's adventures and things like that. But it's uneasily transferred to screen. And you mentioned all those adaptations, Doug. The Charlton Heston version is supposedly really bad. And it doesn't really transfer to the screen the way the Seawolf does, because the Seawolf, another Jack London story, was really well done in 1941 with Edward G. Robinson as Wolf Larsen. That one transfers pretty well. But anytime you're dealing with animals, I just don't think this film is going to make people forget about Old Yeller, which has an actual dog that you can actually be sentimental with and latch on to, and that's why the ending of that film is so powerful. Not that they actually killed the dog in the making of the movie, but you feel like a real dog who bonded with that boy is now lost.
You know, I remember, Matt, sitting in a theater in Detroit Lakes more than 60 years ago when Old Yeller was a first-run movie, and weeping mm-hmm. with the rest of the audience yep. at the end of that movie. That was heart-wrenching for a young boy.
I'm sure it was. 1957, I think that came out. And let me just credit Chris Sanders. There is emotion in this movie. You do feel something between Buck and Harrison Ford. There's going to be some emotion. There's going to be some bad times. You know, Buck is abused. He's stolen from his family. So you end up feeling something for this CGI dog. So the film isn't a complete failure. I don't want to say that. It's just, you know, when I look at a film like this, it's too CGI heavy. Whereas my daughter loved it. And I think if people are looking for a family movie, stuck quarantined at home, you can probably do worse.
Well, as you mentioned, Matt, Buck seems to have these very human qualities. He does
yes.
things that a dog probably wouldn't do, like hide the bottle from his master.
Yes,
you know?
Or save people under the ice. That is one of the more ridiculous yes. sequences in the film, I must say.
Well, I did come up with a bit of an Oscar trivia okay. question that actually surprised me when I was looking into the making of the movie and the star in it, Harrison Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Harrison Ford's Oscar history is intriguing to me, and that is because he's never won an Oscar.
No.
He was nominated once. Mm-hmm. What was that for?
That was for Witness in 1985. Do you want me to tell you the other nominees that year?
Well, go right ahead.
I could try. The winner was William Hurt, Kiss of the Spider Woman. We also had James Garner, I believe, in Murphy's Romance. I think John Voight, Runaway Train, is one of them that year. And then Jack Nicholson, Pritzi's Honor. That was 1985.
So one of the highest paid actors in
yes.
movie history, Harrison Ford, doesn't have an Oscar.
There's got to be an honorary one coming, don't you think, Doug, within the next year or so?
He's had quite a history.
He's got to be high on the list, yeah.
Yes. Well, we've been to the movies with Matt Olien.